Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Monday, June 29th, which means my comedy special comes out tonight at midnight.
Tonight at midnight.
That was actually like a beautiful song, one in which I could hear on the radio.
Yeah, maybe even Claudia, that was beautiful.
Well, everyone's going to understand all of our inside jokes starting tomorrow. You can get my comedy special tonight. If you've pre-ordered on iTunes, thank you very much. And it'll be available tonight. And then after midnight tonight, it's available on a bunch of different streaming services, on demand, you know, DirecTV. I'll post all the jargon on my Instagram because I'm not 100% sure, like, what Dish is, you know? But it's there.
It's there.
It's got, I mean, it's only appropriate that I'm on Dish because I love eating dishes of all kinds.
You love a great dish.
I do.
Well, happy Monday. I'm feeling refreshed and rejuvenated.
I had a fabulous weekend.
I did too. I had a very weekendy weekend. I feel like I did some meaningful things. I watched some meaningful content.
I read
some meaningful books. And I guess overall my weekend was quite meaningful.
Mine was meaningful, but also very productive. I got so much work done this weekend for an upcoming project that I'm going to be shamelessly promoting right after you pre-order my comedy special. And we had a wonderful familial meaningful moment as we got to meet our niece for the first time.
We got to meet our niece and she is everything of the sort.
You guys, it was like, I not to sound like so rude and not to compare, but I spent
that's like put down other babies.
No, that's not what I'm gonna say. Not to compare, but like I spent the whole day with my niece and it was literally like the best day of my life. Like before we left, like I was literally had tears in my eyes. I was just like so happy. It was the best day ever. Like we hadn't all been together in so long. We hadn't met our niece yet. It was just like so special. And I got home and I felt this emptiness. And like honestly, like this is gonna sound so fucked up. And I'm not comparing, but like Theo like wasn't doing it for me anymore. And I'm not comparing, you know, technical dogs to babies. I know that they're different. It's just, you know, like the thing in your life that
your
you take
child.
Care of your child. And like Theo was, he was giving me so much love, but like something about it was like missing. I feel like my ovaries were like,
wow, that is crazy. I was not expecting you to say that.
I know.
Wow. I mean, is that why he didn't show up for work today, Mr. Theodora?
He didn't show up for work today because when I brought him in on Friday, like it's just a little too hot for me to walk with a dog and a computer to this office. I literally showed up on Friday so verklempt after spending so long getting ready, thought I was like hot shit. Then I'm like rolling down the street, sweating my ass off, trying to get my dog to take a dump outside our building. Like it was
glamour.
It was too much pressure. So I had Ben do the walks today. It's a little too hot. Maybe in the fall, Theo will start coming back. But to be honest, like the weather's just, it's stopping me from, you know, bringing my dog into the office. And unless you have a dog,
wow,
live in New York City and are chubby, then you won't know what I'm talking about.
You know that things have changed between you and Theo when you're calling him my dog.
No, it's just like after meeting my niece, like, I don't know.
Nothing will ever be the same. Well, we met our niece and she's actually the most fabulous person I've ever met in my life.
Such personality.
Like so interesting. Everything that she does is so fascinating.
So
highly
funny.
Intelligent. Smells so
oh,
good.
Oh my God, the smell.
She smells like heaven.
Heaven. And I mean like when I first got there, I was so delicate. Like I didn't want to do anything wrong. Like I made Olivia and Zach like put her in my arms. And by the time I left, I was like throwing that kid around like a football. Like I was just so comfortable with her.
Oh no, I'm still so delication.
You're delication nation.
I'm delication nation. And also like it's hard work on the arms having a beb.
Yeah, but you have to keep, if you're a righty, like your right elbow elevated so the baby's neck is like fully straight.
Yeah, no, my arms were definitely getting sore from the time with the niece. And I'm just so happy for Olivia and Zach. And I look forward to spending so much more time with the niece.
Me too. It's just, so that made the weekend so great. Yes. And I actually liked being home in the city. And there was actually like a little bit of action in the city. Even this morning, there's like tons of traffic, which obviously I didn't miss. But it's nice to see life being breathed back into New York.
Yes. And on Friday, we went to an alfresco lunch.
Oh, fabulous. And I didn't see one single roach.
I did not see, feel, smell a roach. And so it was really quite enjoyable and lovely. And I was nervous to like get back into outdoor dining in the city, but I'm here to say, like, it was all right.
It was all right. I guess it's very much, you know, as we learned in middle school, location, location, location. Like, all about the location, even though the restaurant that we had alfresco lunch at is not one block away from the place where I had roach lunch. But, again, I got so many DMs, people being like, say the restaurant. But it's, I can't stress enough how it's not about the restaurant. And after being closed for months, I'm not about to disparage local businesses. I'm just not.
Thank you.
I'm not.
Thank you.
It was, no, I'm kidding.
It was definitely, like, a little tense to be at an alfresco lunch. You know, you're just, like, constantly, like,
and people walking by like stare at you like you're doing something wrong. I'm like, this restaurant's open. I don't understand.
No, you're not doing something wrong.
No, it's just there's a lot of judgment.
There's a lot of judgment, period, which we'll get into in today's episode.
Oh, there was lots of tea over the weekend spilled all over the place.
Yes, ooh, there was. So I guess we could get right into it.
Let me think. Is there anything else I want to say about my weekend?
To recap.
Black Klansman. Did you finish The Politician?
I did. Did you?
So did I. And I watched the worst movie I've ever seen in my life, which I must talk about.
Okay, so please discuss.
So it'll be a nice long show because we have a heavy TV recap segment. What was the meaningful book? Oh, the Redheads book?
Well, I started the Redheads book last night, but I also finished Such a Fun Age, which was a really great book, and we'll talk about it more on the Redheads episode because Dana read it too, and so fabulous. We'll share our thoughts there.
Fabulous.
That is our simple request.
Let's dive right in.
Oh, let's dive right into the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by absolutely nobody because some former toasters keep calling up our sponsors and telling them to stop working with us. Therefore, we have no sponsors, thinking that's going to get us to end this show. But little do you know that ads are not the backbone of the show. They never were. We don't care about sponsors. We welcome them, of course, if you want to email us, hello@morningtoastshow.com. But you know what? We don't need sponsors to keep the lights on here. And we thank you so much for being such a dedicated former toaster. Honestly, I can't tell you how much it means to me that like you are taking up so much time out of your day to call our sponsors.
But if
you could do me a favor and not attack the Black-owned businesses, business owners who are working with us, that would be greatly appreciated because I know you think that you are some sort of social justice warrior who is going to save the world by calling all of the Morning Toast sponsors. I totally get that mentality. I really do. I'm not even being sarcastic. Like, I really do get it. Like, I get being that angry at two beautiful women. I get it.
Beautiful sounding and smart.
I get it. But stop harassing the Black-owned businesses who are working with us because that makes you an asshole and part of the problem. When you think, I get it, like you think you're part of the solution. You've gotten so in on the weeds on being part of the solution, you're actually becoming part of the problem. So stop attacking Black-owned business owners or I will, you don't want to know what I'm going to do. So let's not get there. So
let's not get there.
Let's dive right in.
So you guys can stop watching today's episode. There's no further sponsors.
Oh yeah.
But now they're going to keep watching because they think we're lying.
Yeah. If you watch today's episode, no more sponsors. So feel free to go back to the hole that you crawled out of. And we'll see you tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time.
See you then.
Okay.
Okay. First story, the big story that dropped on Friday right after we wrapped.
Oh, by the way, all this, like, this is what's happened in quarantine. Like, we changed the time of our show, like, by 20 minutes. And literally all the news happens the second I get out of this chair.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense because, like, we're still on New York time. We're wrapping the show almost around, like,
10:30.
So that's when we used to get the news. But anyway, no time like the present to discuss the fact that Kanye West is bringing his Yeezy brand to Gap. In the most brilliant news I've read in a while, the rap superstar will design adult and kids clothing that will be sold at the chain's stores next year. They signed a 10-year deal for a Yeezy line at Gap. Kanye has been a huge fan of Gap for a long time.
He used to work at the Gap.
Yes, he used to work at the Gap. He apparently a few years ago he was talking on a radio show how he had meetings like with Gap HQ about doing something like this, but it didn't work out. But now it's working out. Yeezy Gap is coming.
That's so interesting for, like, you know, Kanye, who is really regarded as like a fashion visionary, for like his, you know, like dream collab to be with Gap, because honestly, like, the Gap is so random. I think this is a great partnership for Gap and a great partnership for Yeezy. And honestly, I'm just hoping, like, this means more volume, because, like, I've literally never been able to purchase something from Yeezy because it sells out so fast. So if working with Gap makes it more accessible, like, I'm down.
I think that that is exactly the what point. It means. I think it is great for both parties. Obviously, Gap could use a reinvigoration, and Kanye will do just that. And also for Kanye, it means distribution, getting to the masses, and working for a major, major corporate player.
And it probably means more affordable.
Yes.
Right? Okay,
yeah,
so that makes, like, me excited
under
too.
$100. And the more I thought about Gap and, like, where they're at today, and I hadn't thought about Gap in years.
Since the sweatshirts.
I hadn't. Right. So I just, the more this makes sense to me, like, they really are a basics company. Mm-hmm. That's what he does.
It's like,
a lot
of. That's true, actually. It's like an Old Navy.
Yeah. No, but they have a really great brand, and I think this is so fabulous. Also, a message went up last night. I saw on my Instagram, I wanted to share, on the Gap store. They, like, put up a sheet with, I'm sure it's not called a sheet, at the Gap store on Michigan Avenue in Chicago with a message from Kanye. Did you see this?
Oh, cool.
And he said, thank God. Hi, Chicago. It's Yay. This is the Gap store I used to shop at when I would drive my Nissan from the South Side. So blessed. I thank God, and I am so humbled at the opportunity to serve. I put my heart into the color palette and every detail. I love Tron the original. Do you like stuff? I don't know what to do with my hands. Love, Yeezy.
Oh my God, wait, that's so funny and so cute. I love, like, a meaningful partnership where there's, like, a roundabout message. We're coming full circle. Chicago, he used to shop there, he used to work there, now he's coming back working with Gap. I love a full circle. I love a meaningful partnership. I think that this is fabulous. But can we talk about for a moment, remember those weird few years where Gap was obviously going through something and they rebranded to, like, Love?
No.
You don't remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
They had, like,
that.
The Love stores.
I do not remember that.
It was the strangest thing ever.
Wow. I'm glad that I, like, didn't pick up on that.
No, it was a thing.
Also, speaking of Kanye, did you see the pictures that Kim posted yesterday of the two of them in Wyoming just looking
extraterrestrial?
Stellar.
Yeah, you know, by the way, I live for them and I die and breathe for them and everything they do. Like, I consume, I purchase everything. But, like, that outfit was just not it for me.
Agree to disagree.
And by the way, you know what was for me? The scenic views, the house in Wyoming.
The, like, bucolic view.
The love between two parents. It was beautiful. Everything, just the outfit wasn't for me.
No, the whole photo for me was stellar.
Yeah. No, I just saw it and I'm like, all right, we're still in this, like, robotic vibe. It's just not my particular area of expertise, I would say. So it wasn't my vibe.
Okay,
that's I prefer
fair.
More of, like, a cotton blend.
That's fair.
Look
that's
at me fair. Today. I got this romper on Amazon.
Love it.
And I wore it yesterday and to our alfresco lunch. And I'm thinking about buying in some more colors. I'm just really happy with it.
I think you should.
I think I need it in black.
I think that's the best thing you can do is find something that works for you, get it in every color, and then you just have this, like, uniform sort of.
I totally agree. Like, Jeffree Star has his, like, tracksuits. I want to come up with, like, my own thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to be tracksuits, but it's too fucking hot.
Yeah, it's way too hot. Okay, you ready for our next story? Some exciting news.
Yeah, is your shirt from Revolve?
Yeah, why?
I literally bought it. It looked so bad on me, and I sent it back.
Oh,
it's Nicole Richie, House of Harlow.
No, it's not. It's one of their random-ass cool. brands. Beyoncé's visual album, Black is King, is coming to Disney Plus. In a surprise, Disney Plus announced a new visual album from Beyoncé, Black is King, inspired by The Lion King. It's coming to streaming services next month. Black is King, written, directed, and executive produced by Beyoncé, will globally premiere on Disney Plus on July 31st, 2020. That's just after the one-year anniversary of the theatrical release of Disney's The Lion King remake, for which she voiced Nala.
Beyoncé loves a visual album.
She does. The one-minute teaser trailer for Black is King dropped on Saturday night on Beyoncé.com.
Yes, I watched the trailer. And you know what I think is really cool about Beyoncé is, like, she could do anything. You know, she's, like, a global superstar. But I feel like her last couple of projects have all been under the mindset of just, like, supporting, like, Black artists, supporting Black heritage, like, Black history. And it's just, like, she could do anything in the world, and all she wants to do is, like, support her culture and her heritage. And, like, I think that's commendable.
Yeah, I saw a comment from Tina Knowles that was, like, this is what Beyoncé has been working on nonstop, like, for so long. This is everything to her. She's put everything into this. And now I'm really excited to see it. And I think this is going to be fabulous.
Speaking of, I watched the BET Awards last night, which were virtual. And I feel like it was kind of, like, the template for how award shows might be in the future. year. And to be honest, like, I didn't really hate it.
That's what we said about a similar award show recently, where it was like people just sort of showed up with their
cameras,
awards. They had a video made.
They knew that they had won in advance. And I know, like, some award shows are, like, so hoity-toity about that. Like, they don't want to tell anyone. But honestly, it didn't really bother me. And all of the skits, Amanda Seales was the host, and she was so funny. And, like, instead of doing, like, little shtick in between each award, she, like, put together, like, full-blown skits, and they were really funny and, like, well-produced. And I didn't hate the, like, the format.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was very well done.
Love to see it.
Yeah.
Love to see people getting creative in the extended queue.
Who knows where we'll be during award season, which I think starts in September.
Yeah, but everything's really pushed back. But the Emmys are September. But
which then, are supposed, like, to be hosted by Jimmy Kimmel. I am so curious if he'll step down.
The Oscars and the other award show, the Golden Globes, were pushed back towards, like, April of next year.
You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, there's such a similarity between what Kevin Hart experienced with the Oscars and, like, all the backlash and then eventually stepping down to what Jimmy Kimmel is experiencing, and how there really hasn't been this, like, call for him to step down.
I thought the same thing.
And I'm curious if he's going to end up hosting it, because honestly, like, I don't agree with what Kevin Hart said, but I would have absolutely loved for him to host Oscars. Like, I love him. And part of me, like, still wishes that he would, even though I don't think he ever will. And I think that if Jimmy Kimmel does it, like, that's just, like, no. We don't even want you. And, like, you fucked up, you know? Yeah,
but his plan right now is to do it. He keeps saying he's taking a summer vacation and he'll be back for the Emmys.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Meh. I think Kevin Hart should do it.
I think Kevin Hart should do everything.
We do.
Okay, this next story is really crazy. Jada Pinkett Smith and her son Jaden are disgusted.
This story, like, I can't. They're, I'm, like, embarrassed. Like, it's just embarrassing.
It's horrible. Are disgusted over YouTuber Shane Dawson sexualizing Willow in a video. Jada Pinkett Smith and her son Jaden are taking a stance against Shane Dawson. On Saturday, the mother-son pair called out Dawson on Twitter after an old clip resurfaced of the YouTuber seemingly masturbating to a poster of Willow Smith when she was 11.
Oh my God.
Jada and Jaden's tweets came after Dawson released a YouTube video titled Taking Accountability, in which he apologized for his past actions, including using blackface and saying the N-word. To Shane Dawson, "I'm done with the excuses," said Jada Pinkett Smith on Twitter.
Yeah, you know what? We talk a lot about cancel culture on this show, and I always say, and I really stand by, like, if you said something bad and, like, you really issue, like, a genuine apology, like, we spoke over the weekend about Jenna Marbles, like, to me, like, her video, like, made me cry. Like, it was really sincere, and it's not excusable for actions, but, like, to me, that shows true remorse. And before I even knew all the videos that had come out about Shane Dawson, I watched his video, and I'm like, this is just not in any way evoking real emotion for me. Like, it was just so, like, I've watched a million other people's apology videos, and I'm gonna, like, do a prototype of what an apology video should be. And I didn't really feel like it was genuine or sincere. And that was before I even saw the content that's been going around. And I'm on TikTok now, and I've now fallen. I told you last week I was on the Taylor Swift side of TikTok. Now I'm on the YouTube drama side of TikTok. It's fascinating.
That sounds fascinating.
It's fascinating. I mean, they, like, everyone, there's all this drama with Gabby Hanna, who I never even heard of. There's, like, this clip of her that's going viral where she's calling everyone monsters and that she's a victim. But now I'm getting clips of the Shane Dawson videos, and they're awful. Like, they're some of the worst I've ever seen. And the one of Willow Smith is particularly vile. And honestly, I'm kind of glad that Jada and Jaden spoke out against it, because it's really fucking gross. Oh, you know where I saw the video posted the first time, which I thought was so interesting? Portia Williams from The Real Houses of Atlanta posted it, and she was like, who the fuck is this? Like, this is disgusting. And it was just like, it was such, like, a raw reaction from, like, a mom. And I'm like, actually, I really agree with her. So this whole situation is, like, really gross and, like, embarrassing. And I kind of love that Jada spoke up.
Yeah, and we couldn't get through the whole Shane Dawson video.
So long with nothing but, like, he kept picking his face, which he did all the time on the Jeffree Star collab, and it bothered me so much. But in this particular video, there was nothing in frame to distract me from him literally picking at his face so much. It is so gross.
Yeah, I guess the only really takeaway that he said that was semi-interesting was that he understands that he deserves to lose it all. He expects to sort of not come back from this. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens, but this, like, it's disgusting.
Like, abhorrent. Like, and people love to, I think, hear from us on certain issues, especially cancel culture, because you and I were momentarily canceled, and I think we offer a unique perspective on it. And I think people often think that, like, we, like, we're just going to defend anyone who was canceled. And for the most part, like, I try and really sympathize with people who are canceled, because I know what it's like to be in that kind of situation. And there's so much misinformation being spread about people in the moment. But, like, I just want to say, like, this is where I draw the line. Like, I do not stand. I do not defend. Like, this is fucking gross and really inappropriate and really problematic behavior. Like, I just, I want to make that very clear.
Yeah. I think also when it comes to cancel culture and us sort of sticking up for most people who have been canceled, it's really frustrating to see like one or a few mistakes define someone. Mm-hmm. And that's where we sort of take umbrage. Also, I've been seeing this going around a lot now, cancel culture versus accountability and how we have to cancel culture and whatnot. So I feel like everyone kind of agrees with that, but no one really knows
How to implement it.
And so from what I'm gathering, because really this has been a reckoning mm-hmm. for a lot of people.
The Golden Girls got in it last night.
Right. To sort of own up to the shit that they've done and apologize in a meaningful way. And so I think that in terms of accountability, it means holding these people accountable, telling them that what you did was wrong, like seeing how sorry they actually are, but then also giving them
space
to grow, like change, like. And this is something that Jamila is always saying, like, if you don't give this person the opportunity to grow, if you just shut them down the minute that they make a mistake, deplatform them, then they won't grow. The people who supported, like, no one, there's no growth after that. And that's the entire purpose of the human experience, is to continue to grow. And you know what? I actually had like such a lame thought.
Tell.
But remember when we were younger, we used to sing that song, growing, we do it every day.
Oh, yeah.
We're growing in the evening and even when we play. And it's just this song. I remember asking, like, a teacher, like, do you ever stop? Like, and obviously it's not, like, physical growth.
Of course.
And she was like, I was like, do we ever stop growing at a certain point? And she was like, no, you'll always grow, like, a little bit. Like, minuscule. You won't be able to measure. And I always thought that meant that I was, like, always
getting a little taller.
Minusculely getting taller. But no, it's like, it's emotional growth. It's knowledge. We are constantly growing. We do it every day.
Every day.
We're growing in the evening and even when we play.
And so, like, as a follower of a lot of people, but then also someone who has followers, I always find, like, it's not on, okay, if somebody makes a joke, or let's say Shane Dawson or Jenna, not Shane Dawson, because honestly, he's just in a league of his own discussing this, but like Jenna Marbles, who did a skit, like, in 2011 doing blackface. It's not on her white followers to like forgive her. It's on the black followers. So I just feel like everyone has their own experience with a creator, with a celebrity, and it's on them to decide whether or not they want to move forward. And if you don't want to support anyone anymore, of course that is your right and you are entitled to it. But I just don't think throwing a party about it is necessary.
No, I don't think so either. And I think what cancel culture is continually judging someone years later mm-hmm. based on mistakes that they have remorse for and that they have addressed.
I agree. Like, but everyone can and should take accountability for things. That's part of living in the public eye. People are going to drudge up things about you, and it's not necessarily fair, but it's just part of the job. It's par for the course, and you have to be willing to take accountability. Like, going dark and like releasing a statement, like, that's not really, in my opinion, a good way to move forward.
Yeah, well, you know? That's not necessarily the moving forward part. That's just the addressing part. And that's only half. How you address it and apologize is half.
And how you come back is...
And then what you do after. How your followers can see that you have grown and matured and learned from it.
Yeah.
Like, tangible growth.
Tangible growth. Visual growth.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like, I feel like I'm watching someone different than I used to.
Agreed. And that's all we can hope for from people, honestly. We have to be a little bit more, you know, realistic.
Yeah. Okay. This next story, you had posted to our Instagram last night. I don't know if I would have seen it otherwise.
Oh my God. It was everywhere. The tea on country Twitter was fucking on fire.
Okay.
So people were fucking cutting people's heads off. Even in our comments, like, this pandemic has made people angry on both sides. Like, people are fucking angry. I was shook at our Instagram is normally like a light, funny, cute Kardashian place, but the fucking comment section was just wild. And I really encourage people, of course everyone is entitled to their own opinions, but can we all just start stating them like a little bit more gracefully?
Yeah, I don't know if that's possible.
I like, no, it's not possible. No. Like, I know that.
Okay, well, here's the story. I have a lot of thoughts on it, okay. So I kind of just want to unpack it.
Okay.
We had seen that Kelsea Ballerini tweeted, because there was a video going around from Chase Rice's concert that was on his Instagram story. On Twitter, it said, Chase Rice just played a concert to an enormous crowd of unmasked fans here in Tennessee. For once, I am a loss for words. Then Kelsea Ballerini retweeted that tweet and said, imagine being selfish enough to put thousands of people's health at risk, not to mention the potential ripple effect, and play a normal country concert right now. At Chase Rice Music, we all want and need to tour. We just care about our fans and their families enough to wait. So at first I saw this tweet and I felt two ways immediately. On the one hand, it's like, what are these people doing? Like, we're in the middle of a pandemic and there's thousands of people at a concert. Like, what in the world? Not wearing masks.
Not one wearing a mask.
And then on the other hand, like, a part of me was like excited and happy that people's lives are starting to get back to some semblance of normal. So I did a little bit more research about it. TMZ got a statement from the venue, because of course, like, when you see this, you're like, Chase Rice didn't make this decision completely on his own.
No, it had to be legal.
Someone somewhere allowed him to do this. If these people were breaking the law, like, they would have been arrested.
Or the concert would have been shut down if, let's say, there was like an ordinance in Tennessee, like no gatherings of more than 200 people.
Right. So the Bushy Mountain Group that owns the venue told TMZ that all local requirements were abided by for the recent concert and numerous precautions were taken. We drastically reduced our maximum venue capacity of 10,000 to 4,000 maximum capacity, which is lower than the state's advisement of 50%, with less than 1,000 in attendance Saturday night, providing ample space in the outdoor lawn area for fans to spread out to their own comfort level. They added that all guests were getting temperature checks prior to entering the venue and free hand sanitizer was provided to everyone at entry. All vendors and staff were advised to wear masks and gloves when interacting with guests, and bandanas were available for purchase on site. They go on to say that they were unable to further enforce physical distancing their signage recommended and are looking for alternatives for future shows, including stanchion dividers and implementing a drive-in style arrangement or just postponing concerts outright. So I read this and I was just like, they're technically doing
within the legal limit.
Yeah. And, you know, we're in month 3.5 of this. Like, eventually things have to start getting back to what's going to be a new normal. You know, it's never, I don't think for a really long time, it's going to be the way that it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at this picture and, like, obviously they're not wearing masks and it's not good. And I was just like, what's going on in this county? So I went to, I did some research online because I feel like we're not getting, like, you know, you see these pictures, but it only tells you
context.
So much. You know, you need context. So I went to the county where this concert was held. I wrote it down because I didn't want to mess this up. The county where it was held has in total had 23 cases and one death. So I went to the surrounding counties. Obviously, people probably drove in. It's a big event. Next county, 14 cases, no deaths. Next county, 16 cases, no deaths. Next county, 159 cases, 3 deaths. Next county, 43 cases, no deaths. Next county, 90 cases, 2 deaths. Next county, 31 cases, 1 death. I even went one circle beyond that to the next counties, and the numbers are very, very similar. And I started thinking about it, like, we need to start, life needs to resume
at
to normal
point.
At
yeah.
some point. And if it's not going to be in a place like this where the numbers are really low and they're doing less than 50% capacity, they're getting their temperatures taken, what people do when they get in there and they take their masks off and they don't want to socially distance
is not Chase Rice's fault.
It's not Chase Rice's fault. And I feel like Kelsea Ballerini passing judgment on him, it's just like we're getting so shamey.
Well, that I agree
shamey
with.
Shamey vibes.
I don't know if
without facts.
No, I don't know. Even, by the way, even before like the real thick of Corona, we were always saying like concerts probably won't be back till the end of the year. So I do think that, like, given the cases are going up in the country, which was expected, I do think it's a little soon for a concert to be held. But I'm not, and I, if it was in my town, like, I probably wouldn't have went, probably.
But your choice.
And that's, of totally agree. That is my choice. I'm sure there are people who listen to the show who are at the concert. Like, there's no doubt in my mind.
And there are going to be people who listen to the show who completely disagree with me and, like, think that it's irresponsible what I just said. And there's going to be people who are like, yeah, I mean,
that was our comment section last night. My problem is, it's like, I think that what's going on right now, the problem is that, like, people feel a certain way. Some people are really extreme and some people are really extreme on the other side. And it's like the shaming is what I don't agree with. And, like, the public kind of taking pictures of everyone. And it's like, I get that we're all trying to do the right thing. And this is even what we were saying about people calling our sponsors. Like, people who are taking pictures of other people, like walking their dog, not wearing a mask, like, or sitting at the park on a Saturday. Like, I get it. Like, you really feel like if you take a picture and post it on Twitter, like, you are going to help. I get it. Like, I really do. And I get that you feel this kind of savior, like, mm-hmm. like you're going to help and shame these people into thinking the same way that you do. But I don't agree with that. And I don't agree with people, you know, who are, you know, fighting to not wear a mask. Like, I don't agree with that, but I don't agree with, like, also like this public kind of shaming where you think it's going to help change people's mind. It's actually making the divide in our country so much worse.
100%.
So even though I don't agree with this concert, I wouldn't have went to this concert, and I do wish everyone in the concert was wearing masks. At the same time, this is a free fucking country. Like, if you want to go to a concert in your county and make your whole county sick, please, no, I'm not going, but go.
Yes, but also if you want to go to a concert in your county, if we ever got to a place in New York City where we had in even 1 week, not even in the last 3.5 months, in 1 week, 53 cases and zero deaths, I would hope that we would be able to have an outdoor concert at less than 50%.
Was the concert outdoor?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Are you sure?
Yes.
Oh, it looked indoor.
It was outdoors.
Let's double check.
I double checked, but let's triple check.
Okay.
Because at first I thought it was indoors too.
The thing is, you know, like,
no, there's a lawn. It's outdoors.
Oh, are you sure?
They just said in the statement I just read.
Okay.
But we'll triple check.
So I just, on this story, it's not really about, for me, it's not about the concert, because at the end of the day, like, people's decisions are their own. And this was technically legal. It was within the legal limit. And people made the decision on their own volition to go. And I can't disagree with someone else's decision. I just, like, I feel like as a country, like, we have got to calm down.
No,
on both sides. Like, everyone needs to chill the fuck out. It's really scary.
It's really scary. The shaminess, obviously, people who are, like, throwing tantrums in a supermarket about not wearing masks are nuts.
I'm not talking about those people. And coughing on people. Like, that's insane. I'm not talking about those people. I'm just talking about, like, the everyday shaming, like, even, like, within friend groups. Like, I just think we need to chill.
Yeah, we definitely need to chill. And I also feel like we're in New York, obviously. We're in the global epicenter. And so what they're doing in Morgan County, Tennessee, has absolutely nothing to do with what we're doing here. I would not leave my house here. I mean, I would not go to, there's no concert for me to go to. I would not leave my house without a mask. But it's just, it's different. I actually was thinking about it, and I'm like, us going to the Celine Dion concert at Barclays 10 days before the quarantine went into effect is actually way more dangerous than them going to this concert with 53 cases, zero deaths in the county.
Yeah.
And with it top of mind, they all got their temperatures taken. There's hand sanitizer. Like, every, even obviously in that picture where they're all singing, like, it doesn't look like it's top of mind. But we went to Barclays where everyone still thought that the coronavirus was a flu.
Yeah.
No one had hand sanitizer on them. Everyone's touching every surface. And it was out there and we didn't even know.
Yeah.
Well, I knew. I didn't touch a thing.
But honestly, I was like, literally, I saw a million toasters. I was like licking their faces. I was honestly like probably the most, if I didn't get coronavirus there, like, I think I'm immune. Like, I was just like, I was having so much fun. I went to dinner and I was with TBG and Margaret Josephs and like all these Housewives fans. I was taking pictures for Margaret. Margaret was taking pictures. Like, it was just probably the most germy I'd ever been. And like, I probably didn't even shower when I got home. I got straight into bed.
That's so funny. My night was like this. I was like this the whole time. I didn't even pee while I was there.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go to the bathroom. But like, anyways.
No, but here's the question about this entire situation. And I think probably what people aren't thinking about the most is, you know, it's one thing go to a concert for sure. But it's like, of course there's risks when you're leaving your house. Like, is Chase Rice worth it? I don't know. If it was a Luke Combs concert, I don't even think this would be a story, because obviously it's worth getting sick going to see Luke Combs.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Chase Rice, maybe he's got a few good songs, but I don't know if he's really worth it.
He actually has a lot of good songs.
And by the way,
I'm not saying seeing him in
and
concert.
And he's so hot. Like, yeah. I totally get it. That was just a joke. I'm kidding.
Yeah, that's what everyone's like commenting. Wow, you risked it all for Chase Rice. I think it just shows how much people want to go to a concert. And listen, I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me. I welcome that. I think it's like, discourse is important, but it's starting to feel like everyone just like, and honestly, I think Kelsea Ballerini like shaming him like this, and not really realizing like what went into putting this concert on, and the fact that they're following the guidelines, which, you know, is all you can ask
people
to do.
Which is the law.
Right. I think it's lame.
Yeah, I just think, honestly, like, what type of death wish does Chase Rice has for his career? Because he knew doing this was not going to be
you
a popular
think so?
Opinion. Of course. I mean, you have to take the temperature of the culture right
but
now.
Also,
like, people are so angsty and ready to just jump on someone who they think is going to, like, perpetuate the virus.
Yeah. Well, I also saw in my research that there had been some other, like, country stars, like, small country stars who are doing concerts like this. Mm. And I don't know. I have to imagine if he thought he was doing something wrong, like, Yeah, I guess you can't hide a concert.
Right. Well, then also think about, for the, did you watch the Dave Chappelle Netflix special? So that was technically a concert. It was held outdoors, but it was seated and it was two people 6 feet apart. Yes. Like, it was much more civilized. People were not standing. It was not GA. So there is a way to do it where I think people would be okay with it, because nobody was outraged about Dave Chappelle, because it was literally in a field. They were taking everyone's temperature, and literally each folding chair was 6 feet apart, and it was only like 30 people. So there is a way to do it where I think people wouldn't get mad, but I can't imagine that Chase Rice and his management team didn't see this coming. I just can't.
I guess.
Maybe they wanted that type of attention and press. They say, you know, no press is bad press, but I beg to differ.
Yeah, but I also think, maybe we could look at this from a more positive side. I think this venue and this concert is an interesting test case to watch over the next 2 weeks. Like, a
decent county.
A portion. And it's also just, like, this eastern Tennessee area with pretty low cases. Doing a socially distant up until a certain point when everyone just went off the deep end concert, like, what happens in this area?
Yeah, it's
now?
A case study. That's an interesting point.
So I think we can maybe get some valuable information from it.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that they all got their temperatures taken before they went in is very important.
Yeah, even though the CDC has been very, like, wishy-washy on whether or not, like, you can be asymptomatic and give it to someone, they said you can and then you can't. I just feel like there is so much misinformation.
This is the CDC backtracking on everything.
There's just so much misinformation. It's so confusing. So I think people are just like, all right, I don't know the truth. Like, I'm just going to stay in my house.
No, I don't know the truth. I'm going to do what I think is best.
Sure.
Also, I'm sure you saw that meme that, like, Joe Rogan posted a while ago that was, like, the CDC and the WHO. I don't know shit about it. Fuck.
No, like, and people, like, and you know what? Honestly, I looked at TPG a lot because, to me, he's, like, the smartest person in my life, and he travels so much, and he's just, like, second smartest person, and he's been traveling and, like, just showing what the type of, you know, different, measures are being taken in different airports and TSA lines and on the planes, and he keeps citing, like, the WHO and the CDC, and, like, I'm just, like, I know this sounds really dumb, but, like, I don't get it. Like, I don't know, maybe it's just me. Like, I don't know what's going on. And, like, it's not like I'm misinformed. Like, I read a lot, but there's so much misinformation. Literally, like, two headlines completely saying different things. No. Like, it's just, it's honestly, like, disheartening to feel like you want to know what's going on in the world, and you literally can't.
There's so much confusing misinformation, things that were said that now are taken back. Like, we were even talking about, like, the masks, how in the beginning, you were shamed for wearing a mask because it should have gone to
healthcare workers.
A healthcare worker. And also, I remember when I was wearing, in January, I was wearing those, like, flimsy little surgical masks. Mm-hmm. And on the box, it says that you need to switch out this mask every 4 hours or else it stops working. And someone had DM'd me and said, you actually need to switch them out every 30 minutes. People have been wearing those masks for weeks.
Excuse me.
Not washing them. Like,
my mother-in-law gave me, one of those surgical masks that they sell. They're not selling them in Ziploc bags, 3 for $10 at bodegas in New York City. Since the beginning of quarantine, I have the same one. Now I wear, like, my Toast mask, and I got, like, a tie-dye one. But, like, that surgical mask, when I walk Theo, like, I wear it every day. So that's what I'm saying. It's just, like, we're shaming people for wearing masks and then for not wearing masks. And it's just confusing. So I think we all just need to let up a little bit on other people, because we're making the divide in this country much worse.
And I think that in the beginning of quarantine, like, it was something, we're all in this together, and, like, we were coming, and it felt like something that was going to, like, bring this country together.
That's what I was thinking about on the toilet this morning, because I was thinking about, you know, the stories of the day, and I was like, remember that time when Dr. Birx came on our show, and she was like, honestly, what's been so pleasantly surprising about this whole thing is, like, people from the private sector, the public sector, both sides of the aisle, Republican and Democrat, are just coming together to work together. And honestly, like, it almost brought a tear to my eye. Like, it was beautiful. And now I feel like we are in a different country.
Yeah.
It's just really sad. So I don't agree with the concert, but if you want to go, like, do what you want to do. It's your life.
Yeah. It's your life.
What you gonna do?
Just follow the law.
The world is watching you every day. The choices you make say what you are and who your heart beats forth. It's an open door. It's your life. What you gonna do? What a great Christian song from a Jewish singer.
Okay, fifth and final story. Sheena Shea's boyfriend pens a supportive message to her after her miscarriage.
Ugh, I just have to say before you dive in the last 6 months, like, I have turned into, like, a Sheena Shea number one fan.
It has been transformative for the Sheena Shea fandom.
She's the hardest working woman on Bravo. Nobody has been through more shit. And you know what? Maybe, and not even a lot of people are talking about this story about where she shared that she had a miscarriage. And maybe that's because Bravo wouldn't air the footage that they filmed of her getting her eggs frozen. Remember?
They didn't air it?
No. That's what she was complaining about on Twitter. Like, they did little nods. Remember she told Lala at the party?
Yeah, I feel like I was there.
No, but there was, like, so much footage of her actually going through the surgery. Gone. Justice for Sheena motherfucking Shea.
Okay, I'm just gonna say, like, I'm not mad that.
No, but I think that more
after
people.
After Tinsley and her eggs, like, oh, eggs totally. Freezing on Bravo has been ruined.
No, but all I'm saying is, like, I feel like this isn't a big enough story.
Yeah, well, you know what? She's in a really happy relationship right now, and her boyfriend had some very sweet words to share on his Instagram after she revealed that she had a miscarriage. He said, "She has my back, and I have hers." He captioned a really cute picture of them. Honestly, like, look at that.
No, okay, so he is, like, a bodybuilder, and all she does is, like, take pictures of him with his ass, like, bare. And
they
kind
do
of
that,
ship.
Like, that challenge on TikTok where she, like, crawls all over him.
No, I feel like.
Honestly, it's exactly what she's always been looking for. Just, like, this man prop who loves her.
I think
and
that,
will be in, like, TikTok and YouTube videos with her.
I think that this is the end of the road for Sheena Shea. Like, I really feel like this
from
relationship.
From your mouth to God's ears.
I have a feeling about it. And I hope I'm not wrong.
I do have a feeling about it, too. I was really sad to hear that she suffered a miscarriage. She seems like she's very eager to
right.
be a
and
mom
we would and, know that if they shared some of her footage on the show.
Right,
but
more
she,
than her just being, like, obsessed with Max
guys.
And Brett. And so my heart really goes out to her.
Yeah, I think sharing a miscarriage is, like, one of the bravest things you can do. Over the weekend, also, Something Navy's Arielle Charnas shared that she had suffered an ectopic pregnancy, mm-hmm. Which, again, is so brave. So, Lauren and Ari from The Bachelor also announced it. So I just think it's really brave. My heart's with Sheena Shea. I really love her. And I feel like now, after years of, like, kind of not even, like, acknowledging her on the show, I feel this need to protect her.
Yeah, I agree. So happy for her new relationship, and hearts are with her.
Those are our Fast Five stories, and now it's time to dive into the TV recap segment, which is brought to you by Nobody. So, what do we want to go with first?
The Politician.
Fabulous, 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 fabulous. If Bette Midler doesn't get a motherfucking Emmy nomination for this show, I will strike, because she was fabulous. She was excellent. I loved the turn that this took show. I love the turn that this show took this season. I loved this local New York State election. Of course, it was a little unrealistic. Does anybody really care about the New York State Senate election? No. If somebody running for New York State Senate, like, through a rally, would anyone come? No. I didn't even know there was a state Senate until this episode of The Politician. I just loved it. I thought Gwyneth Paltrow's character was fantastic. I just love everything about her. I did think towards the end of the series, they're getting borderline a little too unrealistic for me, like, with the vice president and the president thing.
Beyond, like, the whole show has always been unrealistic, even though the state Senate isn't, a hot ticket.
No, it honestly is something someone like Ben Platt's character
could
run for.
You think so? A current student?
Yeah, no, by the way.
Are there students serving in the state Senate?
You only have to be 18.
No, I'm. That's true, but, like, are there students serving in the New York
But I'm saying,
State
in this
Senate?
Current climate, I could see young people in New York rallying behind an NYU student.
You know
student.
What, I got past that quickly, you know?
Yeah.
It was extremely unrealistic, especially towards the end, like, with the tie. I hate when they do that. And then also, same. Like, all it took was for Judith Light to hear him sing to just give up her career.
Yeah.
Like, if only she had heard him sing sooner.
Yeah.
I think that there were some episodes and some moments that were really smart. I thought the commentary on cancel culture was hilarious.
It was so subtle. And I think that, I thought that in the first season, too, where Gwyneth Paltrow was in the train station and she was, life is just a tornado of shit. And all you have to do is try not get hit with it. And, like,
no, and just grab as many gold bricks as you can.
And so I felt like they really commented on the state of the world in a really smart, subtle way. But I felt that even more this season with just, like, the extremism that is cancel culture. Like, when they all freaked out about the 6-year-old picture of him wearing a Native American headpiece, which is obviously cultural appropriation. But at 6 years old, he obviously didn't know that. He was just dressing up as a character from, like, a TV show that he liked. Like, it's just, but the insanity, when they see everyone, they're freaking out, like, it's going to ruin his career. Like, that is really what happens today.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. So I feel like that's where I loved the show. There were parts that did fall flat for me.
I think that what carried this season was what was going on with the older people, like Dede Sandish and Bette Midler. The thruple. And Gwyneth was everything this season. She was everything last season, but she was even more everything this season.
Agreed.
And the adults really carried the show. Also, Ben Platt is fabulous, as always. What was going on with the kids and, like, the three friends.
Agreed.
And the stupidity of the date and the play and the bed and the sex and the window. Like, I couldn't.
I agree. And honestly, McAfee is one of my least favorite characters. And she was, like, a bigger part this season. And I just didn't like that. But something that I wanted to say that I found really interesting was the episode about the voter, where that girl was an intern. Mm-hmm. And they kind of made it seem like this whole political divide in our country is really old versus young, where I never really felt that way. Maybe I'm just like not politically informed enough, but I don't feel like the divide in this country is old people versus young people. Do you?
No, not necessarily. I think that there are like generational issues. But I think that is something that has happened since the beginning. There's always going to be old people and young people who like differ on the way that they see the world just based on
life experiences.
Their experiences. So I think that, you know, even in the 70s, there was the young people that were like, you know,
Woodstock.
And then there were the old people who were, you know, World War II. Mm-hmm. So I think that's always going to be a common theme in society. I think they harped on it like
too much,
very much. And it's weird because it's like a show about politics that's not really political. And I was thinking about it. I was like, for a show that's not political, it was too political. And for a show that is political, it wasn't political enough.
I totally agree. It reminds me of Veep in a lot of ways.
Yeah, but I never watched the last season of Veep, so maybe it started to change. But that show was not political at all.
No, it was the most brilliant show where like it was literally set in the White House. And not, I had no clue who anyone was.
Yeah. No, it was really brilliant. And I think that they achieved that more during season one, but also because it was a student body election. So, you know, it's not
real as, political issues.
Right. And so this season was different. Overall, it's just such a well done show. I mean, the outfits on Alice were
spectacular. Stellar. Scream queens.
I mean, Astrid saying that she can't afford to eat at that restaurant, but wearing a Louis Vuitton jacket and carrying a different Louis Vuitton bag in every scene, like it's a little bit of a plot hole for me.
I have a question for you. Do you think that scene with Judith Light and Gwyneth Paltrow on FaceTime was filmed during quarantine?
1,000%. And so my next question is, do you think that the tech issues were intentional?
I was thinking
because how hard is it to film a video in your house that's supposed to look like a phone anyway?
It was probably added in to make it look more real like a FaceTime. I thought the same thing. But then it begs the question, like, they obviously planned something else for the end because it was short. It was only 7 episodes.
Oh, you
think so? I think they cut production to get it out for quarantine.
I think that they did too, but I didn't feel RDH at all about the end. No. I thought it was just like last season, full circle with a nice bow, ribbon, and I'm ready for the next season.
Yeah, I really liked it. It's a fabulous show. Like, you really can't complain. The musical elements, I just absolutely love every time Ben Platt sings. And, you know, this happened last season, too. Like, I wasn't in love with the song that they chose, but then I ended up loving the song that came out on Spotify, Ben Platt's cover of Vienna. Actually, I loved Vienna, but Rivers.
I didn't love Vienna, but I loved River.
So I feel the same way about the song selection this season.
Well, no, first he sang his own song, right?
Like, the tail end of it.
It was already on Spotify, but no, that was enjoyable. And then he gave us like a real song. I've never heard that song before. I don't know what it's from. I don't know who sings it. And I loved every minute of it. And honestly, like, yes, if I were Didi Sanish, I would have conceded the race.
It was just that powerful.
Oh, and also this is what doesn't make sense. The whole election is generational. Old people are voting for Didi. Young people are voting.
But the nursing home ballot box that Infinity stole was actually Ben's win.
Like, that doesn't make sense based on everything they told us.
Or maybe it's just that Ben Platt is that good of a politician that he's changing hearts and minds of old people who have been set in their ways politically for years.
Yes.
Maybe that was the message.
Yes, perhaps.
Infinity, I wanted to kill. Like, when she stole that ballot box and then brought it to the headquarters, I'm like, are you trying to ruin his motherfucking life?
Yeah, she was out of control. But I actually really loved learning about how
the zero waste.
I thought it was fascinating.
I did too, and how she could keep all of her trash in one jar for a whole year. I liked that too. But then, like, when she demanded that Ben.
No, but I think that's also like a funny commentary. You know, it doesn't have to be so absolutist. Like, there's things that we can all do to make the world a better, cleaner, safer place. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting, but I also did like the tactical elements of like, this is how you live a zero waste life.
It didn't seem that hard. Except for the worm farm.
The shower.
Oh, the shower. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. But I could see, like, buying my own jars.
Oh, of course.
Like, that's not that hard.
Yeah, no, that's not that hard. I think a lot of people do that, and I think more people should do that.
Canvas bags.
Reusing your shower water to make your coffee.
When Skye was like, I drink my shit coffee. Like, That was so funny. And that was like the one thing Ben Platt didn't do. That was hysterical.
Right. But like if he did all the other things on that list, like, and
he's obviously a warrior for climate change.
And also and if everyone else did the rest of the things on that list, like we would be so much better off. So I think that's what they're trying to say is like, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Like mm-hmm. we can all just do something.
And I think that's actually a great
plant-based straw.
I think that is a great message to take from the show, especially in this climate. Like everyone's yes. just doing their best.
And that is the message. It doesn't have to be all this way or all that way. Like you can take a little bit from each and be like, this is how I feel about something.
Yeah. So I just thought it was a fabulous show. When I was done with it, I was really looking for something to watch. So I decided to watch the Netflix original Eurovision movie called Fire Saga. And I only watched it because Ben and I we had the honor of going to Eurovision last year in Tel Aviv with TPG. And there was a Netflix camera crew there. They filmed a lot of the footage at the real Eurovision. So I was like, damn, this is exciting. I thought maybe I would get on TV. But I don't know, I just felt connected to the movie because I was there. And from the minute I started watching the movie.
Oh, they filmed this Eurovision at that Eurovision.
Vision. Eurovision.
I've obviously never been.
Eurovision. And a lot of the feedback that I got from people who disagreed with me not liking the movie, they were like, it's European humor, you don't get Eurovision. But like, I get it. I was there. So I just want to say, from the minute I turned on the movie, I knew I was going to absolutely hate it. Not to be, you know, mean, but Rachel McAdams was so miscast.
I can't believe she sullied her resume with something like that.
She's not funny. And she can't sing. And the whole point is that, like, her song is amazing, blah, blah. And they did what they did.
How was the music?
Incredible. They did what they did for Jenny Lind, where they had someone else be Rachel McAdams' voice. And they're Swedish. And they actually, no, they're not Swedish. They're Icelandic. And they actually had this, like, amazing, I think she was Icelandic singer, sing for Rachel McAdams' parts. And, like, that girl should have gotten the role. She had the best voice I'd ever heard, literally, besides mine, in my life. And so just the Rachel McAdams part wasn't adding up. Like, she didn't do a good Icelandic accent. She's not funny. Like, and she just, like, she's just Allie from The Notebook. Like, it just wasn't adding up. I'm like, how did Allie get to Iceland?
Yeah. You know what? I think just, like, logistically speaking, I think she got paid a lot because
it's Netflix.
Yeah, they have a big wallet.
But I'm honestly, Will Ferrell like takes a lot of pride in his comedy, and I just can't believe he really put out this piece of shit. And just on my quest to take down Rotten Tomatoes, like this movie got a 58. Shall we compare it with
That's
Georgia Rule?
Good. That's a fail.
It got more than Georgia Rule.
What did Georgia Rule get?
I don't know, but not good.
But 58 is a failing remark, and that means half the people liked it, half the people didn't like it.
But I have more to say.
That Ben liked it.
Well, Ben, literally the most annoying person to watch a movie with, like, could not stop cackling just because he loves Will Ferrell.
Okay, so he's the 58%.
He hated the movie.
Oh,
he was like laughing at the dumb like Icelandic like accent stuff, but like it wasn't funny.
But I think that's what Netflix movies are supposed to be, just like something to watch. They're not gonna.
Okay, but it was actually bad. Like I felt like I really wasted my life. Except I have to give major credit. They did the most amazing thing, where there was like this, you know, after party for all the Eurovision contestants, like after the semifinals, and it was kind of like Pitch Perfect, where they do like a sing along.
Yeah.
And they had all these amazing singers, and some of them looked really familiar. And I was Googling it, and these are all people who have participated in Eurovision. So I recognized the girl from Israel who won, therefore having Israel host in Tel Aviv, Netta Bartzali. Like she's like a global icon now. So I recognized her. I'm like, damn, are all these people Eurovision contestants from different countries? And they are. So they were all performing this like medley of different like pop songs in this Eurovision party. And that was really good. Like that musical medley and then the final song were incredible, but it didn't nearly carry the movie in the way that it needed to.
Interesting.
It was so dumb.
Okay, well, honestly,
Pierce Brosnan was in the movie.
I love him.
As Will Ferrell's dad. Like, it wasn't adding up for me. Pierce Brosnan as a fisherman in an Icelandic port.
Love to see
town,
it.
It wasn't adding up.
Okay, I don't think I have any time to watch this. I legit have so much homework every single day and night. So I don't think I'll ever be watching it. So thanks for the recap.
So speaking of homework.
Speaking of homework.
Our toast movie of the week was Black Klansman, which is a Spike Lee film that was nominated for a bunch of Oscars. Based on a true story. And I hadn't seen it, but I knew that it was about a black person in the Klan, given the title. And I just thought it was fabulous. Like, I love the main character, who is Denzel Washington's son.
You just told me that this morning.
And I know that because he was in Ballers, which is my favorite show. And I'm glad he's getting, like, the recognition he deserves. And I feel like he's not, like, a lot of people who are... children of like famous actors. Like they're always just like in their parents' movies, like Maude Apatow.
Like, yeah, she's or like posting on Instagram. Like,
yeah. You would never know that he was Denzel Washington's son. Know. And I feel like he gets the roles like based on his own merit.
Yeah, no, he is a fabulous actor. He did an amazing job.
And it was a sad story, but it was like funny.
No, it was funny. It's a sad story. Honestly, like anything to do with the KKK, like makes my stomach hurt. But ultimately, and they added, I looked up like facts versus embellishments afterwards. And so they added some stuff, which we'll talk about. But ultimately, it's a triumphant story, you know, where
of good versus evil.
Of good versus evil. Exactly. I thought that the cast was really good. So here are some things that weren't in this. He had written a book, Ron Stallworth. Mm-hmm. And so, first of all, the person who goes undercover on his behalf is not Jewish in real life.
But you know what? Usually I don't like when they change true stories, but I think that added a really interesting element.
I think it added a lot too.
But also, it really adds to my number one thought of the movie is how poorly run this police investigation was, because honestly, sending a Jewish person, like, and I'm Jewish, I can say this, like, Adam Driver is visibly Jewish. Like, he has a big nose. Like, it, not to be stereotypical, but like, sorry.
I didn't know Adam Driver was Jewish.
He is, right?
Is he?
I'm pretty sure.
I feel like he could not be.
So, I think that the police investigation, sending Adam Driver in as a Jewish character, like, was so dumb. Using Ron Stallworth's real name, so dumb.
But that's what happened in real life.
I know, but then, wait. Knowing that a KKK member went to Ron Stallworth's apartment and then sending Ron Stallworth to be David Duke's police bodyguard. Right,
there was so much crossover. And then also Laura Harrier, like, knowing who Ron Stallworth is, what he does. Like, at one point, I thought they were all going to link up.
You know, it was all going to come together.
Like, Colorado Springs is just the smallest place.
And by the way, like, the KKK, members of the KKK, like, they were so dumb. Like, they would never have figured out the investigation, but they made it so easy for these morons to figure it out.
Yes. Yeah.
The David Duke parts were just, like, chilling. I feel like they really encapsulated, like, his whole weird, like, MLM, you know, like chapters. Like, it was just freaking me out.
Yeah, it was chilling.
Oh, not
Adam Driver's not Jewish.
Sorry, I take it back. But
so what?
But you have to get into the mind of a KKK person. Like, they see a big nose and they're like, Jew.
Okay, well, they didn't even mention his nose.
Well, that's true.
But the penis thing was interesting.
Yeah, but most people are circumcised. Not only Jewish people.
I thought that too. And like,
those members of the KKK, they weren't like the smartest people.
No, they were
not. They couldn't even pull off like their one job, you know, which was that bomb.
Also, were you getting the vibe at the end that maybe the police chief was like KKK?
Yeah, he was like, I have your back in the very beginning.
And in the beginning, I'm like, he's a good one.
Then he never had his back, not once.
And then in the end, he just like completely cut it off. I thought when they were doing the cross burning and they were like showing a little bit under people's masks, I thought that he might have been there.
That's an interesting call. What I was confused about is who was at the door.
Who was at the door? Oh, when they knocked?
Yeah, and then the movie ended and they just showed them burning the cross. Like, did they die? No, he wrote a book.
No, yeah, I don't think it was
that. So who was at the door?
I think it just, like, was a reason for them to open the door. I don't know. I guess they could have had the window of the cross burning, like, through his apartment.
You know, I'm just curious.
I didn't even think about that.
And also, if we saw his apartment when Felix went to go see it, he lived in a hallway. So, if like, he couldn't see outside because he was in his hallway, you know?
Yes.
Okay, or maybe they were at her house.
So, some other elements that were added.
Oh, yeah.
The end where they got that bad cop, you know, and
oh, that felt
that
fake.
Was a sting. That didn't happen. But I, as for entertainment value, it added so much because like it really was like pit inducing to see that guy have that sort of power. Mm-hmm. Also, I think the whole plot with the bomb and the student union didn't really have. They just like moved the. I don't know. Like that wasn't really a. thing.
Fully factual.
And he and Ron Stallworth was not dating the president of the Black Student Union.
But like, I liked but that storyline.
He was
line.
Dating someone during this whole undercover investigation. So, and you know what I liked about it is like they added stuff that wasn't true, but it only added to the story.
It didn't take away from the message or the history.
100%.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. But honestly, like this type of movie, this is what I said about Hidden Figures and similar to Argo, is like these amazing stories in history that like I never heard about.
Yeah.
And if it weren't for these movies, maybe I never would have.
Yeah.
So I think it was a great selection. I just loved it.
Yeah, I think it was a great selection too. Some of the like way that it was filmed was kind of confusing me. Like when there was audio from one scene in one scene, but it was really part of the next scene. I was like, what radio station are we listening to?
Oh,
but it was really like David Duke on the phone.
Oh, actually, I agree with that. A lot of the radio scenes, I was like, who are we listening to? It was a little confusing. I agree. And you had to like listen. I'm like, is this a racist person? Like it was, I agree.
But then I also felt like, there were some really strong scenes, like when they're
the back-to-back meetings.
Oh, yes, but also when they were at the shooting range and then Ron Stallworth, like, goes to the range and then he sees what they were, the targets, and you only see his expression before you see what it is. And I thought that the way that they did that was very powerful.
Yeah.
And then it, like, this frame is stays on there for, like, a long time.
Yeah, no, it was really like an art film. In addition to being like a historical retelling, it was very well done. The music selection was groovy. The outfits were groovy. I loved like all the hair. Like I thought it was really like an accurate reflection of the time. And it was like done like kind of fabulously.
Yeah, it was done really well. I'm so glad that we watched it.
Me too.
I'm actually really enjoying
me too.
Everything like about the new Toast movie of the week. I feel like we're learning so much and in a way that's like and entertaining. Easy. And also, like, we're watching all of these movies that are just
supporting Black directors, Black artists, Black actors.
Yeah, but that are major, you know, Oscar contenders. We never really watch the Oscar movies, period. Mm-hmm. And so now I just, like,
it's a change.
It's a change. And I'm really, really enjoying it. So,
and for our next film, I'm going to give a little clue. Tell me if you think the audience can guess what movie it is.
Okay.
One day when the glory comes. Honestly, I'm like being disgraceful to the song. I'm going to stop. But yeah. It's Selma.
It's Selma. And I like knew what it was. So it was like, I don't know if I would have known. But yeah, that song
I love
is great.
That song's from Selma.
I know. That song is great.
But John Legend and Common won an Oscar for it.
Yeah.
Right?
But when you were singing it, I don't know if I would have known what you were singing.
Oh, glory.
So good.
Such a good song.
I'm really excited to watch Selma. We'll
never
be recapping that next Tuesday because we have a long holiday weekend. There'll be no show on Friday or Monday. But Tuesday, we will be back recapping Selma. So please watch along with us.
Yes. Fabulous. Anything else we want to recap before we go? I just cannot, you know, press my comedy special enough. If you pre-ordered it, it'll be available tonight at midnight, I think. And yeah, it'll be available a ton of other places. So I cannot wait for everyone to see it.
And if you're looking for more content, head over to patreon.com/themorningtoast. We have one more episode coming at you this month. And the last few episodes are getting really rave reviews. So check it out.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we go live Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, IR Radio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us The Morning Toast and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. We love you guys so much, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.